WMEC Digital College Park. You're now listening to Mukti. Going to play a PSA before we get started.
While you're outside exercising in the sun and fresh air, make sure to check yourself for ticks after being in woodsy areas like the Paint Branch Trail. Tick bites can cause a serious illness called Lyme disease, which is highly preventable and treatable if caught early. Maryland is in the top 15 states with the highest number of reported Lyme disease cases. The best way to deal with this illness is to prevent it, so avoid going off trail into the woods, and if you have to, make sure to check yourself afterwards for ticks or signs of bites, which usually appear as red bullseyes. If you feel any potential Lyme disease symptoms, like a rash, fever, joint pain, or muscle aches, immediately go to the University Health Center. Don't let this stop you from enjoying the great outdoors. Just be alert when you're outside and prevent this infection.
Nadie se difíciles, traicioneros. Amores hay, cariños hay, todifitos embusteros. El agua de ese lugar solo sabe mis sufrimientos. El naranja de ese lugar solo sabe mis tormentos. Llamo aquí, llamo allá, sin que nadie me conteste. Miro aquí, miro allá, porque nadie se aparece. Oye, Jaime, nos vamos a Independencia. Pura vida, eso sí. Se va a Chapulín, papá, papá, papá.
That was El Aguajal by Los Chapis, and that will kick us off for today's episode. I'm really annoyed because someone's practicing in the practice room next to me, and they're playing drums, and it's messing up my flow so much, and it's really hot, but I want to try to put all these annoyances aside and have a really good show, because I'm super excited about this episode. It is, I guess I would say, the reason why I started Mukti, because it was one of the first genres of music that was so overtly connected to, well, I wouldn't necessarily say a political struggle, but just like a group and a cultural identity that kind of reflects the struggles and experiences of, in this case, the like working class internal migrants in Peru, specifically Lima. But yeah, so what is chicha? Before I get ahead of myself, it is a genre of cumbia popularized in Lima, Peru in the 70s and 80s that fuses huayno, which is traditional Andean genre of music, with cumbia, which if you guys listen to my cumbia vieira episode, and hopefully you also just know this from life, but you would know that it's a rhythm of or type of music coming from the Caribbean coast of Colombia, and it dispersed all throughout Latin America starting, I would say, in the 60s, and each country adapted their own specific kind of take on cumbia. And I think that chicha, at least to me, is one of the most unique due to this fusion of huayno and like psychedelic guitar, electric guitar, hence the 60s and 70s era. Now, some kind of precedents to this genre are, first of all, migration from the Andes or the highlands to Lima that began in the 1940s was booming by the 1960s. With these internal migrants from the Andes came the huayno sound, which I'm going to play a snippet of a song called El Alizal by Mina Gonzalez and Potito de Santa Cruz. And I want you guys to listen and also keep in mind the first song that I played before the episode started. Is Does that sound familiar at all? Let me play quickly. This is what I did on the other cumbia episode as well. The base de cumbia, or the cumbia beat, for y'all to hear stripped down the rhythm of cumbia. Now, imagine those two together and you get the Los Chapi song. Let me skip ahead to the lyrics. Hopefully you can hear it. Same lyrics and rhythm, using the cumbia beat instead of the traditional huayno melody. And that's essentially what chicha is. So it's fusing both that indigenous Andean rhythm with the popular cumbia. We're still in the 60s now. But chicha as a sound hasn't become super popular yet. Peruvian cumbia, on the other hand, has. So we have bands like Los Destellos. They're one of the first to add a distinctly Peruvian sound to cumbia, as well as like 60s psychedelia influences. They're super cool. I definitely suggest listening to them, although I'm not playing them in this episode. There's also like tropical Amazon inspired sounds and cumbias from bands like Los Mirlos in the 70s. They're still extremely popular. I saw them perform in Chile and it was super cool, but they're not chicha either. The 70s and 80s marked the heyday of what is now known as chicha music, which is the distinctly Andean sound mixed with cumbia. Some of the major players in this genre are Los Chapis, who I just played, Chacalón, y La Nueva Crema, who I'm also going to play. I would say those are like the big two, although there are definitely other bands that are really popular, but it's always coming back to the same bands who I guess also show up on Spotify. I'm sure there's more that I don't know about, but Pintura Roja also is a big one. I'm going to play them at the end. So what exactly does this type of music consist of lyric wise? It is a reflection of these internal migrants who come to Lima to look for better work and higher salaries. So it reflects the work that they do, a lot of songs being like named like el chofercito, like the chauffeur, like driver, miners, like coal miners or like gold miners, not like miners as in children, vendedor ambulante, so like people that sell things on the street. That's another like title of a lot of the songs, and kind of giving dignity to their work and recognizing like their everyday lives is a really big theme in this music. It touches on the hopes and the dreams and the spirit of resistance that this population experiences. And I'll note the word cholo is used to describe these migrants. It used to be like a pejorative term and now it's more reclaimed. So you'll hear that word come up a lot in even the titles of some of these songs that I'll play. It's said that like the audience is for the most part cholo, so coming from the Andes or descending from the Andes and then migrated to Lima, the big city. And it created a very unique kind of subculture where their identity as migrants, even though it's not, I mean, in the U.S., we don't really think of migrants as someone that, you know, moves city to city. But here, that identity was very salient because there is such a difference in kind of the discrimination people face and the opportunities that they had open to them depending on their region of origin, even though it was in the same country. And yeah, a lot of these bands, especially Los Shapis, they're very clear about who the music is for. I like watched an interview and I think it was, I don't remember, Jaime Morella, one of the members, was saying like, cantamos al hombre andino, al chofer, al estudiante, al vendedor ambulante. So naming the people who the music is for this community in particular. So the next few songs I'm going to play, El Mundo de los Pobres by Los Shapis, El Minero by Vico y su grupo Caricia, and Soy Provinciano by Chacalón, talk about kind of dignifying the work that this community does and talking about the struggles they face in terms of making a living in Lima. So let's get into it.
Pescador de
se sienten en mi alma. Así mi vida pasando voy, porque mineo soy, minero que con mi patria doy toda mi existencia, minero que con mi patria doy toda mi esperanza. Pasé la vida de no sufrir por mi gratitud, mi gran tragedia terminará muy lejos de aquí. Minero soy,
ciudad, pam, pam.
saco de dinero y ahí mandará. Con la ayuda de Dios sé que triunfaré.
You just heard Soy Provinciano by Chacalón. That song, I did want to mention too, Provinciano is another kind of term that people use to describe like the internal migrants. And that song like pretty much summed up the experience of somebody who had migrated to Lima. So the lyrics are saying, like, I search for a new life in this city when everything is money and there's like cruelty. With the help of God, I will triumph. That's one of the like lyrics in the chorus. And he says, like, I am like a, I guess the translation would be provincial guy. I wake up early to go with my brothers to work. So again, kind of dignifying work and highlighting like the experience of a typical migrant and what their life would be like. Now, one thing I wanted to talk about is Chacalón. So he's one of the big chicha artists, as I mentioned. And he has an album called Cero San Cosme, which is a name of a kind of region of Lima. And this really made me think of kind of the importance of spatial exclusions in this whole genre. So as migrants came and settled in Lima, they created like an urban periphery where they created like informal settlements that were unplanned and at the start kind of lacked infrastructure. Cerro San Cosme was one of the earliest ones. It was established in 1946. And it's kind of the equivalent of a favela or like shanty town, or if you remember from the Cumbia Vieira episode in Argentina, they're called Villa Miserias. Favelas and Villa Miserias function as almost like a separate political entity from the city, whereas like these kind of peripheries don't exactly. At least Cerro San Cosme has been integrated within like the Lima's governance, I'm pretty sure. But they are still characterized by like this kind of spatial exclusion where they're really far from the city center. So a lot of people would have to like, travel a while to get to work. But then also like being kind of spatially apart from the main kind of bougie areas of the city created and strengthened like the chicha culture. So the chicha dromos, or like the venues where they'd play music, were established in these areas. The shows put on were in these villas. Now they occupy about a third of the city, and the city itself has grown by 90%. So these migrants and these expansions have really become Lima, and chicha has become like a popular identity of the city. At its inception, it was like considered like lower class music because it's associated with, you know, people living in these peripheries, low income people. And over the years, I think it's still kind of viewed as, because it's associated so strongly with this group, and I think some people still kind of look down upon it, but it has gained a lot more respect as like a distinctly Peruvian in kind of Limeño sound. Which is great. And I also want to mention, Lima has 11 million people, and Peru as a whole has 34 million. So, like, this is a huge city. It's, like, one-third of the entire population of the country is in the city. And, of course, that really grew with these internal migrations and people kind of searching for a better life. So, like, this is a big movement of people. And, like, no wonder there's a whole genre of music that kind of reflects it. So yeah, although this kind of genre is not as like overtly political, it's not associated necessarily with like a political party or some type of like pinpointed historical event. It's still kind of showing the history of migration and spatial exclusions and how they create like a new kind of fusion culture, which I think is really cool. Next up, I'm going to play Pueblo by Grupo Celeste. I like this song because, unlike the other ones, which, I mean, I like those ones too, but it has more of like a message of kind of resistance, social resistance and a call to action. Whereas the other ones are kind of like showing the people's work and the poverty that people experience. Like this one not only does that, but then it also like has a different level of like political and social action. So let's get into it.
Va amaneciendo, pueblo va despertando, pueblo va despertando, el día va amaneciendo. Los amos que antes había, pues solo son un recuerdo, un triste amargo recuerdo, los amos que antes había.
Pueblo, 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 pueblo. Coma más tu pobreza. Si tus campos fueran verdes, tus hijos eran robles, tus hijos eran robles, con paz, amor y trabajo.
Pueblo, 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 pueblo.
Amaneciendo, el pueblo va despertando, el pueblo va despertando, el día va amaneciendo. Los amos que antes había, pues solo son un recuerdo, triste amargo recuerdo, los amos que antes había.
Pueblo, pueblo.
So, Pueblo by Grupo Celeste, its translation of one of its like main refrains is like, look at your, I would translate Pueblo as like community, but it also could be town. Now it depends on you. Don't eat your poverty anymore. So it's like encouraging its audience to stand up and resist like an unjust system that kind of creates this condition of poverty. And then it uses like imagery of like hope and success to kind of show that final result of the impact, and also like draws in some kind of like nostalgic kind of memories, I feel like, of like kind of a provincial like upbringing. So like if your fields are green, if your children were... Actually, I don't know what Robles means. Let me look that up. If your like children were in English, basically successful, we can just say like if your kids were successful, if your fields were green, if you had like peace and love and work. So anyway, I think that's a really good one. The other thing that I wanted to talk about, which I forgot to mention in the beginning, is what is this word chicha? We know what cumbia means, but chicha comes from actually the fermented corn-based, typically, beer / alcohol that has been made in Peru and throughout the Andes for, honestly, I feel like thousands of years, for a long time. Like in the Inca time and even before that, I believe it was popular. And it still is to this day. And it is like associated with like indigenous origins and kind of like provincial origins. So it's a good kind of word to describe the identity of a lot of like the migrants that this genre is by and is for. I tried chicha once when I went to Peru, and it's very like sour. It's very fermented flavor. I really liked it. And I think the one I had like strawberry infused. So I was like, whoa, this is crazy. It was pink. However, I drank, like, they, when you get it, it's like a big glass, like really a large amount. And I think this is like the Sacred Valley area, so it's like very high elevation. And you're like driving around, and needless to say, I did throw up. I did throw up all of the chicha, like, and I had drinking a lot, so it kept coming. So I guess I probably would have tried again and not be thousands of feet in elevation above sea level to really enjoy it properly. But the other cool thing about that trip is, so at the Sacred Valley, you can only really drive. So I went with my family, and each day, like, we hired the same driver to take us to each site. And his name was Alejandro, and he was so awesome. Like, me and him, like, I sat up front with him, and we'd always be chatting, like, nonstop about whatever. But he really, really liked chicha, just like I did. So we were playing so much music. His favorite band, I think, was Pintura Roja. And he put me onto so many of their songs. And we had a really good time. And then, like, at the end of the trip, because, I like, every day, we would, like, hire him. So, like, obviously, we became close. He, like, bought me this beautiful hat. Like, his hat is so beautiful with, like, all these, like, tied, like, kind of, what's it called? Like, fabric or, I can't think of the word, like, fibers kind of around the center. And it's, like, a brimmed hat. I can't even describe how it looks like. And it was so, like, special. So I still have that hat. It's a little bit too small for me. So I don't really know what to do about that. But the gesture was there. And I just really appreciated, like, my conversations with him and our shared love for chicha. He was such a cool guy. And, yeah, just a great experience. I'm very lucky to have met him and to be able to travel in such a cool part of the world. But, yeah, that's why it's called chicha, based off of that fermented corn beer. Yeah, I got a little bit of a tangent there. If you ever get the chance to try it, definitely would. Although I must say I prefer my stouts a bit more to chicha just because of that throwing up experience. Next up, I'm going to play two songs about the also popular topic of love. These songs in particular, they're honestly like kind of the same song in different fonts. Like, not unrequited love, but love that is like stopped because of like class differences. The first one is called Campesinita, which is yet another kind of term. Like, campesina or campesino comes from the word campo, so that's like, campo is like rural area, like farms. So if you're like campesino, like you're someone that comes from like rural areas, like will work like the land. And then campesina is like the feminine version of that, of course. So the song's kind of saying like, oh, I'm in love with this girl, but like I can't be with her because she's a campesina or a campesinita. And I guess like the from the singer's perspective, like he doesn't belong to that class, so like they can't be together. And then the second one, called Clase Social, this is by Grupo Alegría, is similar, saying like, oh, like I'm in love with this woman, but like my parents will not allow it because we're from different social classes. So I guess this is like a typical issue, because clearly a lot of people were talking about this in their music. But I don't know, love is love, guys. Like, you should be with someone regardless of your social class. But easier said than done, clearly. So put these on and take a listen.
Social, porque es pobre de otra clase social. nuestra clase social.
Yeah, so both of those songs are essentially saying that the guy is in love with this woman, but his parents are not allowing him to be with her because she's in a different social class or she's poorer than him. So common theme in teacher songs. But the next song I'm going to play is a little more happy. It's called Jolita, and it's also a love song, but in this case, there's not an obstacle to them being together. So enjoy that one and have a little more hope and happiness, and then we'll listen to Sirita Colonia, which is a really interesting song that I'll give you all explanation of after I play it.
Estás cautivado con tu querer, porque bien lo sabes, solita, que yo no miré si llevarte junto a mi lado para así vivir juntitos los dos en una casita junto a mis viejos, solita.
Sarita Colonia, patrona
líbranos de todo mal.
¡Maravilla!
Heard Sarita Colonia by Grupo Maravilla. Now this is a really interesting story, which I'll try to make very brief because the episode's about to end. But Sarita Colonia is a real person. She was born in 1914 in Juarez and then migrated to Lima, specifically Callao, which is a kind of part of the city right by the coast, like so many other migrants who are the center of the chicha genre of music. Her mother died in Lima, I believe, and then she worked to support her family. But she also unfortunately died young at 26 in the year 1940. She died of tuberculosis, or according to her family, from an overdose of castor oil, which was meant to purge her body of the illness. But what is the most kind of interesting about her story is what kind of happened after her death. So she was converted into a saint, and it's kind of unclear as to how like the cult of Sarita began. And there's, it's kind of a case where like popular memory kind of fuses with like the official as it can be kind of account of her life, and then also like the miracles that she performed after death. There's various different stories of her life. One popular one is that she resisted like being raped, so she is like kind of a patron saint for like women and people who have like survived sexual assault, I can imagine too, maybe. And then some devotees like view her as the patron saint of domestic workers because she was believed to be a domestic worker, of thieves because she was accused of, I think, stealing something from her employer, the saint of migrants because she herself was of course a migrant, and then overall just like a saint of the poor. And that's what is said in the song Patrono de Pobre. Yeah, so it's just an interesting kind of case where like popular memory becomes the truth in the way that it affects how people kind of interact with her and what they project on her. Yeah, and she's visited by like many devotees to this day. People will come with flowers and offerings and ask her to help them with something or perform miracles. So yeah, the stories of her miracles like really vary, and it can't exactly confirm something like that. And she has devotees all across Peru, not just Lima, and even internationally, but she's not recognized by the Catholic Church. And also there's only one photo of her exists. But countless kind of reproductions of her image have been made. So anyway, I just thought that was a really interesting case. And you can visit her grave in Callao, in Lima. All right, finishing off, I have Yo Soy La Cumbia by Pintura Roja. And this is, the band that Alejandro, the man in Peru that was kind of like our Uber driver to the Sacred Valley, every day, which I mentioned, really liked, so dedicated to him.